This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Lots of changes over the last several years, but perhaps nothing has changed in terms of the media as much as news coverage. We're going to be addressing a very interesting topic today, one I want to invite you to join me in thinking about, and that is, how do we envision our use of the new media? How do Christians understand our role as consumers of news and the news media? Here are a couple of things I want you to think about. If you go back 30 years, there are basically three nightly network news broadcasts, ABC, CBS, NBC. If you watched them, you saw one of them. If you missed any of them, you missed all of them. And what was completely basically the story then is that you had three main conduits of information, the three major networks. And by the way, that had largely been two network news programs joined by a third. And yet you fast forward just about 15 years from that and you end up with cable news. You have the rise of CNN. And when CNN developed, all of a sudden it started breaking all the rules. And CNN started pioneering a new form of cable news. And pretty soon it was not only a new form, it was 24/7. And you had the spawn not only of CNN, but CNN headline news. Now you fast forward another 15 years and just looking at television alone, you're looking at massive choices, incredible diversity out there in terms of news coverage. And just to set out what we all know is pretty much now the lay of the land, you've got Fox News on the conservative end, you have MSNBC on the liberal end, and somewhere in the middle, you have CNN. And by the way, CNN is now dropping in the ratings. Front page business day section of the New York Times on March the 30th, CNN continued what has become a precipitous decline in ratings for its primetime programs in the first quarter of 2010, with its main hosts losing almost half their viewers in a year. 1 year. CNN losing almost half of its viewership in 1 year. And what you are seeing here is what many people are describing is the polarization of the news public. The public going either to Fox or to MSNBC and abandoning anything in the middle. I'd like for us to talk about this. How do we make certain as Christians that we are adequately informed? How should as Christians, using a Christian worldview, how should we think about how we watch, analyze, read, think about, talk about the news? What's credible? What's not credible? What kind of editorial slant do we expect? What are we looking for? What kind of analysis do we think we ought to bring? What kind of analysis should we accept? Can we tell the difference between news, facts, and commentary and opinion? Are we raising our children to do the same? You know, an interesting demographic came out of this. A significant number of older Americans just have the news on 24 hours a day. That's right. One of the statistics I was looking at said literally 24 hours a day. They don't even turn it off when they go to bed. They're afraid they might miss something. Or I guess their chair might miss something. But nonetheless, what we have here is the reality that just looking at television alone, the news is always now with us. Other big changes, of course, the death of the American newspaper. That's out there and very much now on the near horizon, unless some trends reverse, which is unlikely. You have the digital revolution. You can now go to your computer and come up with just about anything in terms of a news source. And, of course, that means not only that you're looking at American news media, but you can look at international news media, everything from Al Jazeera to the BBC. There is a veritable ocean of news out there. But most of us are watching just a slice of it, just a bucket of it, a few drops out of that ocean. How are you thinking about it? How should we as Christians think about being informed, being aware, and being careful, consumers of the news? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. It ought to be a good conversation. I'd like to know what you're doing, what you're watching, how you're thinking, and how you're talking to your kids about how to watch the news. In the course of the program today, we'll talk about some principles just to suggest as to how we should watch the news. Big news we've all been watching with heavy hearts coming from West Virginia, Montcoal, West Virginia. 25 miners dead, 4 still missing, and rescue efforts turned back after new pockets of methane gas were discovered. In the New York Times, a very poignant article. This is what one woman had to say, quote, "This is what every coal miner's wife fears. You see them go to work, and then they are gone." Very, very difficult news coverage to watch. Very difficult story to read. You're looking at three members of one family, one older man, two younger, dead. You're looking at fathers of children, dead. You're looking at brothers and sisters and sons, now dead. And, of course, four families, assuming probably now the worst, but hoping against hope that it is not so. Our prayers continue to go to the folks there in West Virginia. And my prayers also go with those who are attempting the rescue, who are right now putting their lives at risk in hopes that indeed there is some hope for those four miners still trapped in the mine. In Great Britain, big news is out. Prime Minister Gordon Brown has called for an election, and that election is going to be a culture-shaping event for Great Britain. The election is called for May the 6th. Given the elegant and historic way that the British government works, the Prime Minister had to go to the Queen and ask the Queen to dissolve the Parliament. The Parliament being dissolved by means of this election, which will reseat the Parliament on May the 6th. You have the two parties there, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, primarily known over history as the Tories, lined up against each other. And even just about 6 months ago, it looked like there was a massive Conservative victory in the wings, but now they are within about 10 percentage points. Prime Minister Gordon Brown leading the Labour Party after he took over the reins from former Prime Minister Tony Blair has inherited no shortage of trouble. But you're looking at an election in Great Britain that will take place here in May that could tell us something about what's going on here in the United States, because over the last 30 years, elections in these two countries have had a good deal to do with each other in terms of major cultural and political shifts. We'll be watching that. One of the things to think about, however, in Great Britain is that the Conservative Party under David Cameron has tried its best to dissolve all of its distinctives and to kind of blend in with larger culture. We'll see if that's a winning political strategy. I frankly have my doubts. The Wall Street Journal's out with an interesting article on friendship. Jerry Jaslow, writing the Moving On column, suggests that men and women have very different forms of friendship. The line I thought was most interesting is this. Researchers say that women's friendships are face-to-face. They talk, cry together, share secrets. Men's relationships, friendships are side-by-side. We play golf, we go to football games, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it says. And it is really, really interesting. My guess is this article is something of an exaggeration in terms of the distinction between the genders, but there is clearly something going on here. It's huge. And the side-to-side versus face-to-face thing goes right back to the essence of the way the two genders communicate within the gender. Time magazine did a study several years ago showing that if you take 10-year-old boys and 10-year-old girls and put them in a room alone, the boys will arrange the chairs side-by-side, and the girls will arrange the chairs facing each other. That tells you a great deal about how those conversational patterns work. Looking at the election going on in Great Britain, I mentioned what the Conservative Party is up to. Here in the United States, the Republican Party is up to some explaining having to do with what is now known as Bondage Gate. And since this is family radio, I'm not going to be going into the details of this controversy other than to say what we're looking at here is a test for a political party as to whether it will make its convictions clear in terms of holding its own leaders and its own executives to the moral standard that it presents to the people. The other thing that has been fascinating to me in this is how so many people have tried to suggest that what was going on in terms of these Republican leaders who spent nearly $2,000 in what has been called a sex club. What surprises me, and frankly, it's hard to surprise any of us these days, is how many people are out to defend that particular, well, industry. It turns out that this industry takes in about $300,000 a week, a respectable, that's in quotation marks, $15 billion a year. That's just one club might take in $300,000 a week. All of them together, about $15 billion a year. One person in the industry said, quote, "We cater to males 25 to 55 years old with high disposable income. Businessmen, business owners, corporate executives, that's who we market to. Our clubs are set up with the same decorations and customer service as any major steakhouse." It turns out there is even a magazine. No kidding. Don Wyatt, the publisher of Exotic Dancer magazine, went so far as to suggest that strip clubs were a classic piece of Americana. Wow. Very, very interesting. By the way, one person suggesting there's just too much judgmentalism going on said, "It's just the mentality in the United States. Anything that's lascivious, people are quick to judge." You know, that is one of my favorite lines I think I've ever seen. Anything that is lascivious, people are quick to judge. Does the person who used that word even know what lascivious means? Oh, for crying out loud. That tells you where we are as a culture. $15 billion a year. Evidently, it's more than Republicans. It's a major problem. Doesn't it tell you something, by the way, just in terms of the sinfulness of sin that those who are running these businesses point out that, quote, our clubs are set up with the same decorations and customer service as any major steakhouse. Right. How are you envisioning the news? How are you reading the news? How are you engaging the news? How are you helping your children, family members, to think through the news? How should we engage the news media in this new, radically different age? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, coast to coast. And with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We are all, one way or another, consumers of news. And I hear some people who say, well, I really don't watch the news. Well, let me tell you what, then you're consuming the news from someone else. There is not a human being alive who's conscious, who is not picking up on current events, picking up on issues. And the question is whether or not we are actually being proactive and responsible, critical and analytical, and actually thinking through the news. And those are words a lot of people may not even think of in the course of a day. I'm going to suggest in just a few minutes some principles about watching the news media and consuming news. But I want to get into this for just a moment in terms of talking about what's really going on, what Americans or who Americans are watching. And I have some information right here before me that is fascinating. And what we're seeing here is the polarization of the American news population, going to the left and the right. And that means a huge number of persons are watching Fox News. Fox News is the big winner. Crazy Like a Fox is the headline in the Columbia Journalism Review, the current issue. Fox News had the biggest gain, just one host, Glenn Beck, his audience up 50% over a year earlier. Bill O'Reilly, whose show commands the biggest audience in primetime television, 3.65 million viewers, up 28%. Meanwhile, at CNN, Larry King, who has historically been the biggest draw on CNN, his audience dropped 43% for the last quarter, 52% in the month of March. Very, very interesting. Then you have on the other side, on the other end, you've got MSNBC. And on MSNBC, you have, for instance, Rachel Maddow, who is very liberal and is has a growing audience, along with Ed, the Ed Show, as it's known. And, of course, several others there we'll be talking about probably in the course of this program. But MSNBC has clearly decided to tack left. Fox has decided to tack right. And CNN's in the middle, and the middle's losing. What does that tell you? Meanwhile, you also have the three network programs, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they're struggling to try to find an audience since for the longest time, they were all there was to watch. All they were, right there. That was it. That was your choice, ABC or NBC or CBS. Now it's a whole new world. How are you thinking about it? Give me the phone. Give me a call, that is, at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Farmington, New Mexico. Eric's on the line. What are you thinking about this, Eric?
Oh, I think this information technology is the best that the world's ever seen. And I believe there's more to come, that there are many people out there open to information.
But what information?
Like money, you got to be careful on how you deal with it. Either.
What are you watching, Eric, or listening to?
Right now?
Yes.
Okay, right now, well, I watch Fox.
Okay.
Because I like their stories and their input and their investigations they do.
All right. Appreciate it, Eric. Let's go to Raymond calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Go ahead, Raymond.
Hey there. I listen to, actually, I like to watch, I think it's CNBC, the financial channel.
Yeah.
And I think you can get a lot of information what is happening in the news based on real numbers. And I mean, I'm a pretty conservative Christian person. I get sort of sick and tired of hearing Fox's seems to be radical sometimes, and just the way they present it, it's almost, I feel almost childish the way they present it, as well as the left. I mean, if you watch both sides, it's almost comical.
Yeah.
To see the two sides, and it's, you're right, there is no middle anymore. And I'm not sure if there ever will be.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Raymond, you mentioned the financial news you're watching, CNBC or something similar. That has become an option for a good number of persons who are not primarily from the financial business. They nonetheless are watching that because of the quality of the news programming. That is one of the reasons why I believe the Wall Street Journal is a big growth property right now in America, as is the London-based Financial Times, which is, I believe, owned by the New York Times. You've got some very, very interesting coverage coming through there. It generally is without so much, shall we say, fluff and gets more to the point. And that gets, again, to the stratification of the news media. You're looking at people who engage at different levels. And, you know, frankly, it takes a bit more background to watch the financial news. And so they steer it that way. It is very interesting to think about this. By the way, the Wall Street Journal is going head to head with the New York Times. Rupert Murdoch, whose family bought news company, bought the Wall Street Journal, has decided to go head to head with the New York Times and is beginning something that has not ever existed. And that is a New York section of the Wall Street Journal coming out soon, just to go head to head with the gray lady. It's going to be very, very interesting, to say the very least. The phone number is 877-893-8255. I'm holding my principles here for a little bit because I want to hear what you're thinking and what you're doing, what news you're watching, to whom you're listening, and then I want to come back and offer some principles for our discussion in just a moment. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Very interesting stuff out there, just in terms of who's watching whom. You go and look, for instance, over the last 2 or 3 years, especially after the 2008 election cycle, and what you're looking at in the period since the election of President Obama, you're looking at a new normal. And it seems sometimes that elections do that. The 1980 election with President Reagan and Jimmy Carter really was the birth in many ways of CNN that came into existence in 1980. And so all those political animals who through the 50s and 60s and 70s had wanted to know the latest political reporting, they had to wait till the news came on one of the networks. And all of a sudden now here's CNN. And CNN became a very important issue. In short order, CNN was actually hosting some presidential debates. Folks, that was huge. And yet now, we don't think of the same brand names anymore. Sure, we remember those names, ABC, CBS, and NBC. But far more Americans, when they think of news, are thinking of some very different initials, different names, and different formats. And one of the things you need to watch that's going on right now, we'll talk about this in just a minute, is that the hard line that had supposedly existed between news and analysis, between reporting and editorializing, has disappeared. And so if you're watching, say, for instance, Fox, and then you switch over a few channels and you look at MSNBC, you know, you're not even sure they're talking about the same stuff. It's gotten to the point where one analyst looking at Fox and NBC together says, it's not just that they have two different sets of opinions, it's almost as if now they have two different sets of facts. That's a very, very interesting assessment. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Love to hear from you by email. As right as it, mail@albertmoeller.com, at Twitter/AlbertMoeller or Moeller Radio, and at Facebook, the Albert Moeller Program. Let's go to Beckley, West Virginia. Christina, what are you thinking? To whom are you listening? Who are you reading?
My name is Rashida, R-A-S-H-I-E-A.
Sorry, I've got Christina here, but glad to hear from you.
Glad to hear from you, too. I appreciate the conversation. I don't watch Fox News or CNN. It's the other one. I'm sorry. I'm driving home from work, so my focus is a little. But I don't watch either one of those. I do like the other station, though, because I like the numbers. I just want to hear the facts. I don't want to hear the spin. I don't want to hear the media spin on things.
All right. Well, let me tell you, Christina, one of the things I want you to think about. Now, let me give you my principle number one, okay? As you're thinking about principles for how to listen, watch, consume the news, here's number one. Everybody has a viewpoint. Everybody. Everybody in the entire news chain has a viewpoint. There is no one who is viewpoint neutral. The reporter has a viewpoint. The editor has a viewpoint. The producer has a viewpoint. The network has a viewpoint. The advertiser has a viewpoint. And the viewer has a viewpoint. One of the interesting things to keep in mind here is that you have every single human being who's embedded in this process possessing a worldview that shapes the way he or she sees that reality. One of the first things we need to recognize is that even when the spin or the analysis is less pronounced, even when the editorializing is muted, everybody's got a worldview. Tell me what you're thinking. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Coast to coast, you're listening to the Albert Moeller Program.
We'll be right back. listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about how Christians should engage the news media. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Just before going to the break, I offered one principle, and that is keep in mind that everyone has a viewpoint. That's everyone. Everyone along the stage of the process. And a large part of the media equation comes down to the question, whose viewpoint wins? And it differs largely by story sometimes. I mean, if after all you're covering an auto accident, that's not so much a matter of editorial viewpoint until all of a sudden political, economic, other considerations may intrude. Then it becomes a far more crucial worldview issue. The second principle I want to suggest is that the news is always manipulated. Please write that down. Just keep that in mind. The news is always manipulated. Now, when you hear the word manipulation, you immediately think that means it's all artificial. That's not true. Manipulation means somebody's handling it. And someone is always handling the news. Someone handles the news story. Someone is handling the camera. Someone handles the text. Someone handles the copy. Someone is handling the editorial process. And so someone is deciding what the news is going to be that you get to see or to read. And remember, they're thinking of you as a customer. So the news is increasingly being manipulated in order to be presented to a consuming public. They need you to watch. They need you to read. They need you to buy the paper. They need you to look at that screen. They need you to go to their website. So with that in mind, just keep in mind very much that someone thinks that you'll look at this story if they do it this way. So just remember, it's always manipulated. That doesn't mean it's always untrue. Not at all. It doesn't mean it's always artificial and insubstantial. No, it just does mean that everybody's got a hand in it. And the third principle I want you to think about before we go on to others is, with all this in mind, a single source will not do. A single source of news means that you are looking at one means of manipulation. You're looking at one viewpoint of presentation. You are looking at one single source, which is going to become more and more predictable. And in order to get out of the box, in order to think carefully, you're going to have to kind of go around a little bit, look around a little bit, especially the more crucial, the more important the story, the deeper the worldview implications of the story, the more you're going to have to kind of work it yourself. There's a piece of news for you. You got to work the news yourself. All right, let's go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. David's online. Go ahead, David.
Well, hello there. Glad to join you today. I'm out here as a professional road scholar, you might say, a professional truck driver, and I get most of my information from the radio and the Internet. I find it to be a way to get a little more thoughtful, a wider variety of viewpoints, because there's a lot more out there, I think, than just what's on the TV, which I think tends to turn your mind to mush. I've been TV-free for 4 years, Doctor.
All right. Hey, David, let me tell you something. I saw a study the other day that said some of the most informed people in America are long-haul drivers. You guys you're where the news media can get to you a lot of the time. And you guys are becoming very, very adept at listening to and thinking about the news. And someone just made a comment the other day that said, you go to a truck stop in America, you can get a debate on any major political issue from people who are incredibly informed, more so than perhaps even in many of the corporate towers downtown. And it's very interesting. You say you listen to the radio and Internet rather than television. Okay, now I understand exactly what you're talking about there. Just realize, David, one of the interesting things is that in order to know what's going on in this country, you kind of got to know to some extent what your neighbors are watching. That's the other side of it. It's because the news makes the news. You can know a great deal about your neighbor by knowing which channel do they watch. What are they thinking about this? So it's kind of an interesting circle. The news tells us what the news producers think about us, and we look back and see what they think also about our neighbors. It's very, very interesting. I tend to watch this like with the healthcare vote that was going on the other day. I had on both Fox and MSNBC. And it was almost like I was creating my own bipolar situation there. But it was because I wanted to see how are they handling this, because how they handle this news story is going to tell me a great deal about what's really going on. And that was a fascinating experience. The phone number is 877-893-8255. David said he's television-free, uses radio and the Internet. And I can tell from the way he was speaking there, multiple sources. That's good. Again, one of the major points here is that single-source media consumption leads you into basically a singular understanding of what's going on rather than getting the larger picture. A part of what it means to live in this incredibly diverse postmodern technological digital society is that we not only have the opportunity to look at several sources, we really have the responsibility to. The bigger the story, the more important that principle plays in. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Interesting comments in by Facebook. Chris wrote in to say, I would encourage Christians to be cautious about accepting too much news at face value. Each network has an agenda, either simply to boost ratings or to influence viewers' attitudes and beliefs. I've come to believe that it is best to take information reported and funnel it through the lens of the gospel. Well, that's always good advice. Thanks, Chris. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Springfield, Illinois. Bill's on the line. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. Glad to hear from you. What are you thinking?
Well, talking about sources of news, and I consider myself conservative and probably not Republican anymore because I'm disappointed a lot in that party. But I don't like Fox News. I think things come off very, very slanted there, and the words out of Glenn Beck, you know, just don't do a thing for me. And I prefer to get my news and think I'm strong enough. I like to get it off of MSNBC.com. That's where I get a lot of my national news and also off of, like, Yahoo Finance. But
yeah.
Those are my thoughts on sources of news. I still read the newspaper and get news there, and we get our local news over the TV on, you know,
sure. All right, Bill, thoughtful call. I appreciate that. And you make a very interesting point. And I'm thinking here back to the cable news networks, the CNN, Fox News, MSNBC dynamic. Conservatives tend to gravitate to Fox News, and that makes sense. That's because the editorial viewpoint there is clearly more conservative than the alternatives. One of the complexities about watching Fox is that many conservatives don't really recognize the difference between libertarian arguments and conservative arguments. And if you actually do a pretty careful analysis of Fox, a lot of what you hear on Fox is not so much conservative as it is libertarian. And I'll tell you, without Fox News, here's the tribute to Fox News. Without Fox News, we would not have a good bit of the news coverage we have on the other networks. And let me tell you how that works. In the news media, there is a certain shame, and it's actually stronger than that, that comes if you neglect a story someone else is dealing with and it turns out to be a big story. And so for that reason, the selectivity of the things that Fox goes after has a great deal to do with the fact that you have the other networks even discussing them. So that's a big part of it. So you've got kind of a reality anchor on the right with Fox. Is there entertainment going on there? You bet. You bet. I mean, if you're putting on that much programming and you're on a primetime audience, you're going to have to be mixing some elements of real entertainment along with the news. There's no doubt about it. And they have entertaining personalities. And that's true on the left and on the right. If you look at MSNBC on the one side, you look at Fox on the other side, the least you got to say is, whether it's Keith Olbermann or Glenn Beck, you've got someone with some opinions here. You have someone with some communicative ability, and you've got someone who's able to hold an audience. And you look at it and say, well, all right. You know, there's Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow. I realize I'm not on exactly the same time, but nonetheless, you see, you know, you've got alternatives here in terms of how this works. Meanwhile, CNN, that pioneered the kind of cable news journalism with world coverage, had done its very best in the very beginning to more or less play like the big boys of old, the ABC, CBS, NBC, and they did. They would have claimed to have had a great deal more editorial neutrality than the others. And that's one of the reasons why CNN apparently is really kind of the odd man out in this right now. CNN losing viewership, hemorrhaging it literally by the millions, And I don't know if that tells us more about CNN or about the United States, just in terms of the population, the viewers, in terms of how they're gravitating here. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We're going to get to as many calls as possible. Let's go to Taylorsville, Kentucky. Tony's listening. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, now, Dr. Mueller, I listen to shortwave radio a lot, especially when a big story comes on, and every nation has like 1 hour of English-speaking news on it. You can get a little pamphlet that tells you when and where, what channel you can find it on, and to get the different viewpoints from different countries is just, wow, you know, somewhere in between all these different viewpoints, the truth.
Tony, a man after my own heart. Let me tell you, going all the way back about 30 years, I was trying to listen to shortwave broadcasts. So my wife gave me a wonderful shortwave receiver about 30 years ago for the wonderful, very, very generous Christmas present. And I still have it. I still listen to it. And let me tell you, that's where I got hooked on two broadcasts. And I'll just share them with you. The two broadcasts I got hooked on were the English edition of Radio Deutsche Welle, the German major radio network, and then the BBC. And the BBC is just almost singular, sometimes infuriatingly liberal. But let me tell you, in terms of news analysis and depth of coverage, it's just hard to beat the BBC. And if you don't have a shortwave receiver, you can follow Tony's advice, because you can actually listen to Radio Deutsche Welle, and which is German radio. You can listen to the BBC on the internet, if nothing else, because they are accessible right there. And I check the BBC every single day. I have a pretty complex system whereby I try to look at the news in every 24-hour news cycle. And I've got my computer set up so I can go directly to the biggest stories from the BBC. It's always interesting stuff. And to tell you the truth, you just have to listen. If you don't do anything else, listen to Question Time for the Prime Minister, and you'll come to understand what bare-knuckled parliamentary politics sounds like. Interesting debates. Tony, great point. Thank you. And as you're listening out there on the shortwave, thanks for listening to the Albert Mueller program as well. All right, let's go to Waynesville, North Carolina. Kitty's on the line. Go ahead, Kitty.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call. I listened to Fox News, and there was an earlier comment made about there being no middle. Well, my comment is the Lord doesn't want us to be in the middle. He wants us to choose.
Well, he certainly wants us to choose the right. You're absolutely correct about that, Kitty. And, you know, it goes back to that old saying that, you know, that there's no cowardly ground like often the middle ground. And when it comes to the big issues of the day, let me tell you, Kitty, if it's the sanctity of human life, you've got to take a stand. You've got to take a side. And it comes down to maintaining biblical understandings of anything ranging from marriage to morality. Yes, you have to take a stand. When it comes to consuming the news, let me just suggest to you that one of the things you need to do in understanding how to get the best right position and understanding of this is sometimes listen to someone with whom you're going to disagree, because you might find that you'll actually think more faithful thoughts as you have to defend what you believe over against those who might make a contrary judgment. That's why from time to time I have to tell you, I sneak over to some of the most liberal commentators and authors and editors and news sources, because I want to hear what they're talking about. And I want to make sure I'm taking all things into consideration. But when it comes right down to it, it's not a world in which we're just deciding on different flavors. What we're after all, is the truth. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I just had a clue that some of you might want to talk about this. Interesting. You know, this news story that came across about CNN and about the ratings at MSNBC and Fox News and all the rest is just a reminder that the news is very much a part of our lives. You bet it is. And especially when something happens. You remember back in September the 11th, 2001? You remember how we were just glued, just transfixed, standing there? I can remember as a little boy at about 9 years of age, standing in front of a black and white television with a grainy image, with my cousins and I actually holding some aluminum foil on the rabbit ear so that we could get an adequate picture in order to see Mr. Armstrong. Neil Armstrong put his foot on that grainy, dusty soil of the moon. You remember some of those events because you get to see them with your eyes. We're living in an age in which, with our own eyes, with our own ears, we're able to see and hear more than any previous generation. We're able to be there in the big news events. And as recent events have shown, even in terms of some events in the Middle East, we're living in a surveillance society where even after things happen, you can put together images from security cameras and all the rest to determine what happened in ways that, well, let's just say, even just a few years ago, were quite impossible. I offered some principles for how Christians should engage the news media, and I think the first three are just a simple common sense. Number one, everyone has a viewpoint. Just remember that. Everyone does. Everyone along the line of the process. There is no one, including the cameraman. Remember, where the camera points and who does what with an image has a great deal to do with what you see or what you think you see or what you don't see. Everyone has a viewpoint. Just keep that in mind and recognize there's no such thing as an absolutely objective news source. None. Now, let's be thankful there are some who are doing their dead-level best to get to the most objective presentation possible. That's important. But let's recognize that these days the tissue between the editorial content and the news content is getting very thin. Secondly, the news is always manipulated. Someone's always handling it. It doesn't just get delivered to you, and you're not just standing there looking at it as events unfold. Someone has to do a lot of work. A lot of people have to do a whole complex of work before it gets to you. And just remember that. Someone's making a decision. We're going to put this on, not that. We're going to put it this way, not that way. We're going to use this picture, not that picture. We're going to use this soundbite, not that soundbite. The third thing to remember is that a single source simply will not do. In order to get a fair and adequate understanding of what's going on, the bigger the news story, the more important the implications, the clearer the worldview issues at stake. Make certain you're going to multiple sources and trying to figure this out. At the end of the day, you've got to go wide and you have to go deep in the media. The bigger the news story, the more important it is that you come to an understanding, the more urgent the issue. Go wide, look at what's going on out there, read, listen, and go deep. Go to the sources yourself. Track it down. Figure it out. These days, more and more of it is simply our responsibility. That's not a bad thing. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.